March 12th, 2019. Last week I had to, if you listen to last week, you'll hear me in the beginning. Because David wasn't working.
Getting back to yourself?
Little by little, yeah. Oh, Stanley's here. Thank you. On the last Amud in Perek Mitzvos Chalitza, Dat Kuvav Amidbeis, we dedicate the learning tonight to Zecha Nishmas Rav Moshe Shimon Ben Rav Moshe Shimon. Rabbi Gold has the Yahrzeit for his father. He was named after his father. So we learned the first tikkun of the Gemara right after the Mishnah, where the Gemara says that the Seder is not Miyakev. That if you did, the Rikika is supposed to be at the very end. And if she did the rikika in the beginning, he wouldn't even ask her to repeat the rikika later on. But yeah, but if you did the rikika before, yafach leislambo. So he mentioned, when we started the parak, he mentioned that the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva halacha lemaisa. What if they said the wrong kriyas ha-psukim? The kriyas ha-psukim is not miyake. But l'chatchila, if they did the chalitza, so you tell them to do the kriyas ha-psukim also. So what if by mistake they said kochi osalish in the beginning, and then they say lochafatzi lekach at the end? So he thinks that based on Rishonim, he's Madaik from Lashos Rishonim, he thinks that the whole Kriyas HaPsukim is not Miyakev, but he says if they said it before, you have to repeat it again later, because one is intended to be an introduction, one is intended to be, one is a prologue, one is an epilogue. So that would be Miyakev, and the Seder would be Miyakev. So that's what we learned. So up to the second wide line, on Kufav on the base. Omar Abai, Hai man de makri get chalitza. When you have a chalitza, I don't know why he calls it a get chalitza. You have a Masada Git, you have a Masada Kedushin. So you have one of the three members of the Bezin is going to be the spokesman for the whole Bezin. And he's going to be telling the Yavama what she should say. Then he tells the Yavam, say lo chafatzi lekachta. So they tell the Yavam, or they tell the Yavam, lo likri ledido. When you tell the Yavam first to say loy ova yabmi, so he shouldn't say loy luchudei and then ova yabmi luchudei. Have a pause in between, because the mashma sounds incorrectly. Ova yabmi, as if he does want to be miyabmi. Ella, you have to have them. Sometimes they don't speak Hebrew. So you have to, sometimes they don't know how to pronounce a ches. We spent last week, if you can't pronounce a ches, if you can't say the psukim, so that's miyaked. Even though the kriyas ha-psukim is not miyaked, but if ain't a royal kriyas ha-psukim, then it is miyaked. So you have to have them say the sentence properly. Lo yov yab me, she say together. And then when they have the yovim say, lo chafatz de lekachto, you should have them say the whole. If they know how to read Hebrew, so there's no problem. So you give them in Hebrew, say, read what it says. So he says, Lachavatzi Lekachta, okay. But if they don't know how to read Hebrew, and then it's like pulling teeth. You say, Loi, then you say, Chafatzi Lekachta. So it sounds as if he says, I do want to be Miyavim her. So that's no good. Liquidly today, you shouldn't, the one is Mesada, the whole Chalitza, the oldest member of the Bezin, shouldn't say, Loi Luchadei and Chafatzi Lekachta Luchadei. But he should rather say, together. Say together. So Abai says you should be makbid on that. Rav Amar, yeah, it doesn't matter. Everybody knows you pause in the middle of the sentence, but then you finish the sentence. So he says, asuke milse leislambo. Asuke, not more correct is the giris on the side, asuke. to complete the sentence, even with a little pause in the middle, machtishtais. So it's not miyakev. Okay. Ravashi Ashkechele Rav Kandukam, it's tar makri lo, lo yova yabmi. He had a woman who apparently didn't know how to speak Hebrew, didn't know how to read Hebrew. So she was saying word by word, and it sounded like Ovayabmi, Loi, Ovayabmi. She wouldn't say together. So Rav Kana insisted, no, say together, Loi Ovayabmi. Omalei, so Rav Ashi said to Rav Kana, what are you wasting so much time? Lo Savalama, Lo Hodu Ravod. Rav said it doesn't make a difference. Does make a difference. Amalei, so Rav Kana said, no, Moide Rava, but Loi Ovayabmi, even though Rava says that's Tukim Milsi, as long as you finish the sentence is good. No, but Loi Ovayabmi, that's no good. It sounds like Ovayabmi. Okay, so we try. If they know how to read Hebrew, say, give them the whole sentence, say the sentence. If they don't know how to read Hebrew, say, try to have them say it together. Okay. Then you write, how does the woman, we know that the woman was married to her husband for so long, and the husband died, the people in the neighborhood know they had no children. So we know the woman needs chalitza. When she does chalitza, not everybody is there. When she wants to remarry, how do we permit her to remarry? How does she prove that she did chalitza? Let's say she moves to California. And the people know that she was a Yevamah, kuka liyibum. How do we know that she did the chalitza? So the practice is you write a get chalitza. The Bezin writes, Ashtar Maisa Bezin, this is ascertain that she went through she did the chalitza properly. So when you write it, you write that she did the chalitza from the right foot, and she did the rekike, and she did the kriyas ha-psukim. He says, she said this, and he said this, and he said that. So the shaila is, when you quote a pasuk from Tanakh, when you quote a pasuk from Chumash, you should really need sirtut. You should have to make a line before you write a pasuk. Even though it's a document, you're not writing a Sefer Torah over here, you're writing a shtar maisa bezin. So Abai says, if you want to avoid requiring sirtut, what you do is don't write three words in a row. Let's say I'm going to write a letter to someone on a piece of paper that has no lines. So I'm going to write, I finished Chumash Shmos and we started Chumash Vayikra. So the word Shmos comes from Chumash Shmos. So he needs sirtut because he wrote one word. And we're starting Chumash Vayikra this week. So you need sirtut because you wrote one word. One word is not considered even the beginning of a quotation. What if you write two words? Shmos, I don't know what. Elishmos. So two words, Zorchadnish. That's not called the Haskalah. If you write three words in a row or four words in a row, so that's a machloikis in the beginning of Gittin, first perek in Gittin. How many words do you have to quote? How many consecutive words do you have to quote? That it should be considered the beginning of a quotation for Chumash, that you should require a sirta. So Omar Abaye says, "Hi, man, the cause of the gate of the chalitza. When the Bezin writes the shtar chalitza, and they write that we did everything, we did the kriyas hapsukim. So what are they going to write? She's going to say, they're going to write the yovim said lo chafatzti lekachta. So that's three words consecutively. So then." This Gemara seems to be assuming that if you have three words in a row, that's considered the beginning of a quotation from the Chumash, and you need sirtut for that. So what is advice? I'm on the cause of Gita Chalitza, licht of Hakri. That's Akrinu l'dido. We write in the Shtar Chalitza. We had the Yavama recite a long sentence. Me'en Yavama l'hakim shem li'yisur lo'yava yabmi. So that's a long sentence. If you got to write the whole sentence, that's many words in a row. So then you're going to need sirtut. So you should write like this. We had akrinuha lididu. We had the Yavama recite, starting from the word me and Yavami, two words in a row, up until lo avayabmi. So you don't write lo avayabmi. That's three words in a row. Then you're going to need sirtut. So you write, we had a recite, but it says in the Chumash, in Chumash Dvarim, chapter and verse, starting from the words me and yavami till the words ovayabmi. So you only have two words in a row, so you don't need sirtut. And then we had the yavam say, lo chafatzti lekach, there's only three words. But three words in a row, you're going to need sirtut. V'akri nuha lididei, you had the yavam say, so instead of writing easily, Loi chafatzi lekachti, right? We had him recite what it says in the Chumash, loi, starting from the word loi till the word lekachta. Such a long arichas. You could have written lechafatzi lekachti, but then you would have needed sirtut, because he wrote three words in a row. So Abai recommends you should write, we had the Yavam recite what it says in the parsha, starting from the word loi until the end of the word lekachta. A long description of three words. Because you don't want to bother to do it. Then Rakenu Lidida, then after the whole chalitza was all over, we had her say, Kochi Yosef Lishaliyim Nez Besochim, Nikonish Mansor Bes Chalutanal. So that's a long sentence. So you're going to need Sirtut. So you don't write the whole sentence. You write, we had her recite, starting from Kocha, you can write Kocha Yosef, also two words. You write Kocha until Chalutanal is only two words in a row. So since you only write two words in a row, that's not even called the beginning of a quotation. Okay. That's probably the same shaila, let's say...
The
shtar always is usually written on paper.
Has to be in paper as well?
Yeah, you have to have a sirtut. Whenever you write a pasuk, you're supposed to have sirtut, yeah. But if you only write one or two words from a pasuk, then you don't need sirtut. You have to have at least the beginning of a quotation. So that's a machlekes, whether it's three words in a row or four words in a row. Probably an afkamina also, let's say, a lot of people send that wedding invitation, so they write psukim on the wedding invitation. So Moshe Feinstein writes, that's not a smart idea, because all the people are going to throw the wedding invitation in the garbage. So you shouldn't write psukim. So how many words in a row do you have to write in order that it should be considered the haschal of a quotation of a pasuk? So if the pasuk has 10 words and you write 5 words in a row, so you wrote, that's a quotation from the pasuk. If you write 3 words in a row, then maybe it's the same shaila as over here. Is it 3 words or 4 words? Here the Gemara assumes that it's 3 words in a row. And the Gemara in the first parak in Gittin, there's another sheet that they need 4 words in a row. Is the beginning of a quotation. So this is what Abai says, that you should be careful not to write 3 words in a row, because then you're going to need the sirtut. Okay. That was Mazucha Masartit because of the Kula Parsha. Mazucha would do Sirtut, like if you write online papers, right? So you have the Sirtut, so you can write the whole pasuk.
So on the wedding invitation, even if it doesn't have Hashem's name, it's a problem?
Right, it's a problem to throw out a pasuk. Yeah, you know, I'd like to throw a pasuk
in the garbage. But who says maybe I'm writing... not a pasuk, something else. It just first 5 words happen to do this. I'm writing a poem.
Nah. If it's 4 or 5 words in a row, then we know it's a quotation from that pasuk. If you just write Kol Sosam Kol Simcha, that's a quotation from a pasuk. But that's a melitza also. Meirisham Kol Sosam Kol Simcha is a pasuk in Navi. So Ramosha recommend here. Ramosha writes when he sent that wedding invitation with his children, he was machmir not to write Kol Sosam Kol Simcha Kol Chosam Kol Kala, because that's a quotation from Navi. Even though most people don't even realize it's a quotation from Navi.
But so what do you do with every sitter, every chumash? You don't have sirtut. Every sitter, every chumash doesn't have sirtut?
I don't know. Good question. I don't know. Maybe that the whole purpose of sirtut is that it should be neat. When you print the book, so you always put the type in such a way that it is going to be neat. So maybe that takes the place of the sirtut.
That would apply to the invitation also. That would apply to the wedding invitation.
That could be. No, but the wedding invitation, I'm not concerned so much about the sirta. We're concerned about throwing it in the garbage. It's not right to hear. So if you just have 2 words, you can't say, Elishmos, Yom Gimel, Parshas Elishmos. You didn't even quote the beginning of a pasuk, Elishmos. You have to have either 3 words or 4 words as the beginning of a quotation. Okay.
Has Gomes in a sefer handwritten? They go down, they go up.
Yeah.
So they're quoting psukim.
Ah.
His handwriting is...
Taka problem. The Gemara said, yeah. Here in the Gemara Gittin says, even when you're writing a letter, if you quote a pasuk in the letter, you should really put sirtut. Yeah. That's what Moshe recommends. You should cut off that part and put it in the Shemus. Yeah. A lot of times they write Teferis, what do they write? Teferis Bonim Avoisam, or Teferis Ovis Benehim. So they quote a pasuk and then they give the names of the grandparents there. So they don't realize that doing us a disservice. You have to cut out the pasuk and put it in the Shemus. Better is not to write any psukim in Shemus. Yeah.
So even if it's not Sefer Torah, means even script.
Pashtus is like that, yeah.
Maybe it's only
everything is script. I don't think so. I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe there is such a kula. I don't know. See, if you have lines on the letters, is nicha. A lot of times they write on stationery which has no lines. That's not a problem. The pashtus and the gemara, you need sirta. Yeah. Maskehlo ma baravidi v'holo nitan likosev. What's the kasha? The din is that you're not allowed to write less than a sefer sholem. What does Rashi say? Well, nitan likosev parsha b'fnei atzma. Maseches Gittin, Perakam Zok, the Tanya, Kosu Megillah, the Tinuk, the Hislamid Boy. The children in Cheder are learning, they start from Parshas Lech Lecha, let's say. So why should the child have to carry a whole Chumash? Why the child has a little child? Why should he have to carry a whole Chumash Bereshis? Maybe give him a pamphlet that only has Parshas Lech Lecha. So the Gemara has a Machloikis. Is the din, it's permissible, Kosu Megillah, the Tinuk, the Hislamid Boy. If it's Litzorech, for a young child, then it's a Tircheh. A young child, it's heavy. You make him carry a whole Chumash Mos. Wouldn't it be easier to have him carry just a pamphlet that has the parsha? So Rashi quotes that opinion. The machlek is there. Would we allow it b'shas hatrak? Is it enough? Is it enough of b'shas hatrak that it's too much of a tircha for little tinoikas to carry a whole sefer shalom? So Rashi quotes the opinion. Ain't kos from a gilu the tinik for Islam. Even if you all kos from him, is because it's litzorach, so we make. What's the issue here? It's not so much the story that you're writing less than a sefer shalom. Someone's going to read it, so they're going to be reading shalom mitoch haksav. You're supposed to read Torah shebichsav mitoch haksav. You're not supposed to read bal peh. So even when you read from a siddur, that's called bal peh because you don't have a sefer shalom. If you don't have parchment, or even if it is parchment, let's say you have a sifra daftarta. Some shuls have written on parchment, have all the haftarahs written on parchment. After for Bereishis, Noach Lechucha, but they don't have a Sefer Shalom. They don't have a whole Yirmiyah. They don't have a whole Yecheskel. They don't have a whole Sefer Yeshaya. They just have the Haftaris. So even if it's written in on Klaf and it's written in Ksav Ashuris, less than a Sefer Shalom, it's called Kriya Baal Peh. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to write less than a Sefer Shalom because someone's going to read it. Someone's going to read it, and that's going to be Kriya Shalom Mitoch Haksav. That's the problem. Some of the shuls they like to write on the Aron Kodesh. Eitz Chaim El Machazikbo is also a pasuk. What's on top? What does it say on the top? Oh, that's from the Siddur. That's not from Tanakh. But Eitz Chaim El Machazikbo, that's a pasuk. So it's not really right. So if you really, or that, let's say, in some of the shuls. They put on the Sefer Torah, and every Sefer Torah has a different motto, different logo. So one Sefer Torah, it says, V'ahavta l'racha kamoicha. So if you would really be convinced that by exposing the Balabatim to see this Monday and Thursday and Shabbos, they see V'ahavta l'racha kamoicha, they're going to develop a habit to each other. So l'tzorach yelata, right? If it's a real tzorach yelata. I don't know whether the Balabatim are not sure, whether they're exposed every 3 days a week, do they develop more Avos Reim than everybody else? I doubt it. So it's not really Litzorach. It's a machlekes whether Latinic Lehislamid is Mutter, Shailen Yeridea, how you paskin. Is that enough of a Tzorach to have the child, instead of carrying, schlepping a whole Chumash Mos, he should buy us, even if you have a whole Chumash Mos, it's Balpeh. So it's buy us. By us, we rely, the Gemara says, finally, we rely on Islas Lashem Efer Teresecha, that we make on the whole thing. You're not supposed to have the Mishnais and the Gemara written down. You're not supposed to do what we're doing. We're doing what you're not allowed to do. And you're not supposed to be reciting Psukim Baal Peh. So we do it all the time. We read from a printed Tanakh. Printed Tanakh is Baal Peh. So the Gemara says, the reason why we're Mekel is because Islas Lashem Efer Teresecha. We have no Brera. That's the child. What does that mean? It's Las Lashem. So the Mishnah in the last Perek in Brochus, the way it's printed in the Gemaras that we use, Gemara Brachas, they have the whole Perek on one page, Perek Haroya. They have all the Mishnahs on one page. They should have done like every normal Perek. Take one Mishnah and then you have the Gemara, then you take Mishnah Beis, you have the Gemara, Mishnah Gimel. There are many Mishnahs, but that's the way they printed. The whole Perek, many Mishnahs, all printed on the first Amud in Perek Haroya. So the Mishnah quotes there, Eslas L'Hashem, Efer Terasecho, the Hitiru Sheil Hashanam B'Shem. In the days of Tanakh, in the Megillas Ruas, it says that when Boaz met the workers in the field, so he said, Ruchim Atem L'Hashem, and they gave a bracha to him. So it's a Shailav, Moitzi Shem Shemaim Levatola. So the Gemara says, and the Mishnah says, Eslas L'Hashem, Efer Terasecho. If there's a big Shas HaTchak, so we allow it. What are we allowing? So Rashi writes, we allow it. Hey, Feira Terasecha, you violated an Avera. You violated an Avera. So Rashi says, they allowed you to do Dova Hanira Isser, something that looks like a Marasayim, but it's not really an Isser. So there, that Boya said, Bruchim Atem L'Hashem Hashem, they said to him, Hashem Mimochim Gibor HaChayo. And then he said to them, Bruchim Atem L'Hashem. So that's not really Motzi Shem Shemayim Vatol, Git Tabroche. So he mentioned Shem Hashem and the Brocha. So that's not really Levatol. Maybe it's Dabar Hanira Iser. That's where Rashi writes to be Mevorach Havera B'Shem, to mention Shem Shemayim when you give a Brocha to a boss of a dom, it's Dabar Hanira Iser. What's with writing down the Sifra Daf Tarta? We learn Gemara Mishnah is not Keneged Adin. Is not really Keneged Adin. and we recite Haftaris. We read the Haftaris from the printed Tanakh, that's all Baal Peh. So we assume that's not really, I don't know, we assume it's not a real Isser. It's not a real Isser. I think we once mentioned it, that the Sefer Yireim says it's not an Avera. It's not an Avera. It says the mitzvah Bishlei Musaf, transmitting Torah Shebaal Peh, should be fulfilled by reciting the Mishnayos and the Gemara Baal Peh. If you're going to read from a text, it's Nishken Avera, but it's not a mitzvah b'shlei musa. So why did they allow it? Because it's las l'Hashem. If you're going to be a stickler, you're going to be makbid, you have to recite all the Mishnahs and all the Gemaras Baal Peh, then half of the Shas will be forgotten. Not everybody can recite everything Baal Peh. So you have a toss-up over here. Should we do a mitzvah shalo b'shlei musa and teach Torah Shah Baal Peh from a text? It's not, we're not doing an aver. We're not doing the mitzvah Talmud Torah b'shlei musa. Or should we choose to be mekayim the mitzvah of liman haTorah shelo b'shlei musa, and thereby preserve more of the Torah Shebaal Peh? So they made a decision. It's not really an isser; it looks like an isser. And apparently, the same thing by the Torah Shebichtav Baal Peh. It's really only a din when you're leaning kriyas haTorah to be motzi acher mederchei vosom. Then it's a din, you kid. Baal Kori shouldn't lay in the Megillah, Baal Peh. He shouldn't, a lot of times the Baal Kori, the Bar Mitzvah Bach, have practiced the Seder so many times, he knows it by heart. So when he goes up to lane on the day, on the Shabbos of his Bar Mitzvah, so he looks inside, he says the first two words, then he recites the rest by heart. So that's not right. So that the real din is to be Motzi Acherim Adecha Evasim. But if you're not being Motzi Acherim, just, I'm looking at the and it says, it's I'm not being moitzi anybody with anything, even if I say the pasuk. You're not supposed to write, that's a ritzvah says like that in Gittin. You're not supposed to write less than a Sefer Shalom because we're afraid someone's going to read it, and to read it is Keneged Adin. You're not supposed to read Torah Shebichtav, Shalom Mitoch HaKsav. It's only called Mitoch HaKsav if you have a Sefer Shalom. Megillah means less than a Sefer Shalom. You're not allowed to write a Megillah to Islamic because that's not sufficient Tzorach. Yeah. So strictly speaking, it's not really an issue. That's what they quote the Talmidei Hagra quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon. When someone gets haftorah, when someone gets maftir, so if he's leaning from a klaf, then you don't have to say a long haftorah. He could be motziu yidechay boscha because he's leaning mitoch haksav. But if he's saying the haftorah from a printed text, so he's saying the haftorah, but he doesn't have a mind to be motzi everybody. So everybody in shul should say along. Everybody should say along. You have to have at least 9 people say along with him. So you have a minion of 10 people who are being yotzed after. But if only one person gets the maftir and he says the haftar from a printed chumash and no one else is saying in the shul, so you don't have, he shouldn't have a mind to be motzi acherim because that's keneged adin. That's supposed to be motzi acherim derechei bosom with the kriyas haftar, a kriyas megillah, baal peh. So you should really have in mind not to be what anybody said. Everybody should really say along. That's what Talmidei HaGra say based on what the Vilna Gaon said. That the real din is b'negeya to lima Torah shebal pe tzeh mitzvah shelo b'shlei musa, what we do. But it's not an avera. And the other one also, it's it can't be motzi acher medechei vasam bal peh. So let everybody say on their own. So it won't be motzi dechei vasam. So that's what the Gemara asks. Mazut would write the whole pasuk in the Shtar Chalitza, and he would put Sirtut to the Gemara. Is that permissible to write less than a Sefer Shalem? Maskele ma baravidi v'hola nitan lehikosev. So the Gemara, no, the Hilchus HaKavos and the Mazut, we pass him that it is okay. Why is it okay? Probably no one's going to read from that. What does Rashi say? The Kosem de la Dami, the Kosem Megillah Tinnig Slami, but Hosem Adai to the Parshat Hatsa. Because of late, yeah, they're going to learn from that. So we assume the Kai Malon Rashi says Torah Hasuma Nitam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to write down the Torah, he wanted the whole Torah from the beginning to the end. He didn't want us to write Parsha at a time. But over here, just writing a Nusach and a Shtar, said this is not a violation of Dvarm Shebichsav Dara Bal Peh. No one's going to, the Bezdin is going to read to allow the woman to do the Chalitza. So the bezim will read that she already had the chalitza, so they'll permit her to remarry. But no one's going to read. If you have a paroiches and it has a pasuk, you have a mental on it, if there has a pasuk, where it says a lot of people like to hang up designs in their sukkah. So they hang up a pasuk that says basukas teshvu, shivas yamim. Or if you have a talazekel and it has, or you have an esrik box, it says lekachtem lechem bo yom rishon on the esrik box. Or pasuk vasa lahem tzitzis on the talazekel. So the Magen Avraham says it's not right because you're writing less than the Sefer Shalem. It's not proper to have such no isukah, to have such. That's one reason. Then it gives another reason because usually by us it always rains. In Eretz Yisrael, in principle, it never rains. Once in a while it does rain, but usually it never rains on sukkah. It does start raining till later, till Zayin Chesh. But by us, it always rains in Chutz Lortz on Sukkah. So when it rains, all the noise Sukkah is going to fall down on the floor, and it's going to get all filthy. The pasuk is going to get all filthy with the mud on the floor. So the Gemara says over there, it's not a violation of anything. They're not going to throw it in the garbage here, and like a wedding invitation. And then the Bezdin is going to read it to allow the woman to remarry. No one's going to read it about that. There's nothing wrong if you make sirta and you write the whole pasuk. That's not a problem. Let's invite Amar Abai Rokikov Kol Tosei Haruach La'asas Tavu Leklum. My time of Yorka Bifanov Beinon. After the chalitza is over, then Yevama has to spit in front of him. She doesn't spit on him; she spits in front of him on the floor. So what if she's much taller than him? The Yevama is tall and the Yevama is short. So when she spits, the wind blows the saliva to the side. So the saliva never went in front of his face. But Yorka Bifan, she doesn't spit in his face, she spits in front of his face. So Abai says, Rokakova kolta soha ruach, the wind blows the saliva away. Layasta v'laklum. The din is the rikika is not miyake, but lachatchila, to do the mitzvah b'shlemus, he's supposed to do rikika. So the rikika has to be bifan. My timer, Yorka Bifan being hilkach. What if he's taller? What if hu aruch, the higutza, if he's, the yavam is tall, and she's short, she higutza, then kol tasei haruach, ikka b'fonim, then there's no problem. Because when she's right in front of him, he's taller than her. So when the saliva comes out of her mouth, it's already yorka b'fonim. But the reverse, if he arukav, she's the tall one, if hu guts, and she spits in front of him, and the wind blows the saliva to the side before it passed in front of his face, be not the mati lahadi ape vahadarazam. First has to fly in front of his face, and then if the wind blows it to the side, that's not a problem. Okay. Usually we do chalitza indoors, so there's no wind blowing. The meaning in Shulchan Aruch says you do chalitza in shul right after shacharis because we want to have piercing. We want everybody to know that she's available. Amarava, ochla tuma veroksa. What if she ate a tuma is shum, garlic? So garlic is marbe saliva in the mouth. So she's not really spitting the saliva on her own. This is like a reaction. When the body eats certain foods, so it causes more saliva to develop in the mouth. So that's not the fulfillment of v'yorka v'fonav. So that's what he says. Ochlo tumo v'roksa, ochlo gargishta v'roksa, le'osezav le'klum. Why? Because you need my time of v'yorka me'atzma be'inon v'leko. It didn't happen by itself. She has to gather the saliva on her own and then spit in front of him. And here, because she ate this food, so that's not called v'yorka. V'yomar Rav, another din, Rav has been get to chalitza, tzvichi dan. So that's why the meaning is that you tell the Yavam she shouldn't eat or drink anything in the morning. That's why you have the chalitza early in the morning. Tell her she shouldn't eat or drink anything. Then they tell her that the Yavam should wash his foot. There shouldn't be any chalitza, any chatzitzas. So he doesn't wear a sock on that foot where he's going to put the chalitza shoe. He doesn't wear a sock. That we had in the beginning of the Perek. The Gemara had one opinion was that the chalitza shoe should not have a lining. Although our shoes have a soft lining that are... And we wear socks. We wear socks also. We wear socks, and when they have the shoe has lining. So by the chalitza shoe, we're machmer that you shouldn't have any lining, and the yom should not be wearing any socks on that day. And then they tell him to wash his foot to make sure there's no dirt on the feet. Then they tell him he should just like a woman goes to mikveh. So you have a cut of nails. So you tell him he should cut his nails. So the long nail shouldn't be considered a chatzitza. That's already. On top of but that's the minig. They tell the Yavam that he should wash the foot, shouldn't be chatzitzas, and he should cut the nails to make sure they're not too long. It shouldn't be a chatzitza. The Amar Rava, another chumer he has, this we all know, Tzvichi died in the Mechsei Roki, can offik me puma the Yavam. The Dayanim, if they didn't do the Hori Kika, but he ever the chalitza is good, but you want to do a mitzvah lechatchil, you want to do a mitzvah bishlei musa. So it's not enough that she does rikika. The rikika has to be done in such a way that the dayanim see it. Why d'chsiv? The yarka b'fanav le'eni haskenim, the yarka. She has to do the rikika in such a way that the members of the bezin should see. So I attended chalitzas a few times when they have in the yeshiva. So a lot of times what happens is they tell the imam to gather saliva and spit. So she does it, there's hardly any saliva, so the dayanim didn't see anything. So they tell her, calm down. Wait a few minutes, gather together as much saliva as you can in your mouth, and then repeat the rikika in such a way that the dayan will see it flying out of her mouth and falling on the floor. Kinafik bepuma di yavama. When the saliva comes out, you need the yorka befanav le'eni asken. Then the Mishnah ended off that our practice is like Rabbi Yehuda adds on. All the people who happen to, we have lechatchila five dayanim. We have three dayanim sitting in one direction, and then another two dayanim, then osafim sitting there. So not only do the dayanim say, not only does the ibama say kacha yasalish, beis chalutz hanal, the dayanim say, and whoever happens to be there, if there's a crowd of other people standing there, everybody says chalutz hanal three times. So that's what the Gemara goes on the last caption in the Mishnah. Beis chalutz hanal, mitzvah b'dayanim. The first time it says mitzvah b'dayanim v'lo b'talmidim. Only the dayanim have to say chalutz hanal, chalutz hanal, chalutz hanal. But then Tanya Amrab Yudah Pamach Zayinu Yeshu Nefnei Rab Tarfin. He was much younger than Rab Tarfin. The Mishnah Megillah says Rab Yudah said he was the Balkari before his bar mitzvah. He lay in the Megillah in Rab Tarfin shul, and everybody said Yoytze. Rab Yudah said that's a din. I caught him before bar mitzvah. Ruchuim mederabbanan. Everybody else also on the Mechuyim Mederabbanan. So he's on the same level as they are. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin that a cotton is a trade, the Rabbanan. The whole mitzvah's Mikra Megillah is only the Rabbanan, a cotton Shigila Chichon is only the Rabbanan. And everybody else is Mechuyim Achad, the Rabbanan. So Achad, the Rabbanan is a stronger Chiyiv than a trade, the Rabbanan. Like on Shabbos, if you have a Shvuz, the Shvuz, but Makam Mitzvah, we allow it. We don't allow a merely Akam, the Makam Mitzvah. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Balu Iter. One of the later Baliatesis, Balita lived in Marseille, so he, the Shiramo quotes, Balita says, Amir Liakam is mutter b'makam mitzvah. So we don't pass him like that. Amir Liakam is mutter b'makam yishav Eretz Yisrael, not b'makam shah mitzvah, special cooler. But it doesn't apply to other mitzvahs. Other mitzvahs are only mekel if it's a shvuz de shvuz, because if it's a double de rabbanon, it's a lower level chiyuv than a chad de rabbanon. So the same minigay too. If something is also based on a combination of two derabbanans, Shuz de Shuz, based on a combination of two derabbanans, Amir Eliakum and Anisa derabbanan. So the same by a mitzvah, the cotton before by mitzvah, he gear lechinuch is only mechuyim with derabbanan, the whole mikra megill is only with derabbanan. So his chiev, his mitzvah is only a trade derabbanan. So a trade derabbanan is not as powerful a chiev as a chad derabbanan. Anyway, so the Mishnah there has. Rabbi Yehuda says, I remember, I read the Megillah, I was the Balkari in Rab Tarfon Shul, v'leomer li dover. So here also he says, he remembers, v'amachazin yeshim lefnei Rab Tarfon, who was much older than him, u'basi v'am alach l'am alanu. So Rab Tarfon told all of us, alu kulchem, everybody should say, chalutz anal, chalutz anal, chalutz anal. Okay. This is Megillah Allah, perek mitzvahs chalitza. We observe chalitza, v'zman hazeh.
Even by mitzvah deraisu, it's a problem.
The Mishneh Berurah quotes the Chayyodim has like that. That you're allowed, Amir Eliyakim and Melacha Deraisa is Mutter. The Gemara has Mishneh Misha Beretz Yisrael. So the Chayyodim says, if it's a mitzvah derabim, then we allow even Amir Eliyakim and Deraisa. Some Rishonim write because Yisha Beretz Yisrael is a mitzvah derabim. To buy, in the Gemara, there are two different mitzvahs. One mitzvah is Yisha Beretz Yisrael, to buy up the land from the Arabs. And one mitzvah is yeshiva b'Eretz Yisrael, that I should live in Eretz Yisrael. So I should live in Eretz Yisrael, v'arashtem masoros v'yishavtem bo. All of us are supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's a chayvus hayochid. But the obligation to buy up the land from the Arabs, that's a chayvus hatzibur. Klal Yisrael has to see to it that they buy up the land and they miyashiv, yishuv haaretz. That's a mitzvah derabin. So there's such a Ramban, the end of Masech HaShab says, why did the Chachamim permit Amir Eliyakim and welcome Yishev Eretz Yisrael, because Yishev Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah derabim. So that's the Mishneh Berurah quotes from the Chayyodim, that if the Erev broke, you're permitted to ask the Nochri to go fix the Erev, even though he's going to make knots and he's going to bang nails and he's going to drive his cherry picker, whatever, he's going to do real melachas deraisa, because the whole community can't get everybody. Someone for sure is going to be Mechal Shabbos. If the Erev fell down, you can't notify everybody. So that's a mitzvah derabim, so we allow Amir Eliyakim and Malkam mitzvah derabim. Okay. I thought after second best, after learning mitzvahs chalitza, we should really learn Perek Elisha Rabba, which is earlier. Where is it? Pei Zayin on the base. Elisha Rabba. There's another Perek that's called Hoisha and Psochem, I think. Hoisha. So this is the bigger Perek, Hoisha Rabba. Doesn't mean she's a fatter woman than the other one. It's the larger parrot. So the Mishnah has the din, Eidechot is Neman by Meis Baila. That's going to be a big issue. What is that based on? To ascertain whether a woman is an Eishes Ish, a Nishkan Eishes Ish, should really be a Dovah Shabiyah. A Dovah Shabiyah should require two Eidim. And nonetheless, the Mishnah says that we accept the Eidechot. In the days of the Tanoim, it was a big heated debate. And the Gemara says later, Rabbi Akiva was put in prison by the Romans, and then they ultimately killed him. At the end of the story was they killed him with the Asura, Haruge Malchus. And when he was in prison, they used to ask him Shilas. They would pass by, the Romans wouldn't let, but they would pass by and camouflage the Shilas so that the police wouldn't realize that they're talking and learning. And this is one of the Shilas that they asked Rabbi Akiva in prison. And he said the tradition is, from earlier generation, Eidechot is Neman by Meis Baila. That's the Psak HaMukum. So Gemara is going to discuss it. What is it based on? Shouldn't it be Adav Shabbi Ervo? So that's how the parak begins. Hoisha, it begins backwards though. Telling you that it didn't be the Evid. Hoisha, Shoala Baila Limdinas Hayam. They didn't have any telephones. So the husband moved away, went on business, wherever, to Medinas Hayam. The Mishnahs are written in Eretz Yisrael. Composed in Eretz Yisrael. So America is called Medina Sayam. If we would write the Mishnayos, we would call Eretz Yisrael Medina Sayam. All the way over there on the other side of the ocean. But the Mishnayos were written in Eretz Yisrael, so America is Medina Sayam. So Hisha Shalach Baila in Medina Sayam. The husband went away for a long time. We don't know whether the husband is alive or dead. So Yishtalach Cheskes Chai. You assume he's still alive. However, Ubovi Yomru Lo, and they came. It's in the plural. Uba'u v'yomrulon, they told him, Eiz b'aylech v'nisis, they tell her, your husband died. So the husband died, so she's allowed to remarry. So she remarries. V'achakach bo b'aylech. Then it comes out that the husband is still alive. So what's the din? So there's a din of soita. There's a din of soita sofik, and there's a din of soita vadai. So in the Chumash, the soita is a soita sofik. The husband is maybe paranoid. Maybe he's right to have a sveikus, and he thinks that his wife is having an affair with someone else. Often he's paranoid. There was a case in the yeshiva years ago. The husband was really not all there, and he was using the apartment before he got married with his friends. And then after he got married, so the friends had to take their stuff out, so one of the friends left his jacket there. So the husband comes home one day, he sees a jacket. So the wife said, the jacket was there before he got married. No, she's having an affair with someone else. They had a baby, she became pregnant right away. So he said, the baby is not his baby. He's not the father of the baby. I got some ice. Yeah, he finally gave her a get. It was a whole parsha. And then the boy was a Sephardi, so he thought that all the Ashkenazi rabbis are ganging up against it. Rav David Lifshitz said he has to give his wife a get. Rav Soloveitchik said he has to give his wife a get. He didn't trust any Ashkenazi rabbis, so they had to get Chacham Gaon, who at that time was the Sephardic chief rabbi of the British Commonwealth, used to visit Yeshiva every year for a week. So they had Chacham Gaon speak to him. So he trusted him. Chacham Gaon said, you do a mitzvah today, you give your wife a get, or I put you in harem. That was it. So he did a mitzvah. He gave his wife again. He didn't want to be in harem. So he was going around. He was missing mom. Like going around. Asiti mitzvah hayom ki amti mitzvah ki higerashti et eshti. That's the only thing that worked. Everybody else was talking themselves blue, and he didn't trust any of the Ashkenazim. And then because he lived on my side of the Heights, the couple lived on Bennett Avenue. So we came back. We were in Eretz Yisrael that summer, so we came back. So he visited Rav David Lifshitz to tell him that we met a lot of his Rav Chaim Sholevitz and he met a lot of his friends in Eretz Yisrael. So he tells us about this Torah that the couple lives on our side. He says, they live on my side of the Heights, so it's my responsibility to see to it that she gets a get. So my wife would go 2-3 times a week to convince the husband, to convince the wife that she should run away from the husband. Anyway, Agamsa Parshan. So the Mishnah has this case. So the Chumash has a din of a Seita Safek. The husband is Choshed. He does know about that. The husband is Choshed that his wife is having an affair with someone else. So if he's Kinei Law, Vinistra Kinei Law means Hasra. He wants her Altistri Imish Ploini, because I think you're having an affair with that person. If he doesn't like that person, and he says, don't let him in the house because I don't like him, that's not called kinah. Kinah means if he's choshed that they're having znus. And if he's choshed that they're kissing each other, hugging or dancing, that's not called kinah. Kinah means choshed that they're actually doing loisinov. So that's called kinah. The Beis HaLevi has such a tshuva. He has two tshuvas, one after the other. One of the rabbanim told his wife, I don't like a certain rabbi from another village. So if he ever comes to the house, don't let him in the house. I don't like him. So once the husband was away, it was by Labaya. The husband was in the same city. He was in Rabbana, so he had to leave the house. And this other Rav came, and the wife was embarrassed to say, my husband doesn't like you, so I can't let you in the house. So she let him in the house. There was no Issa Yichud by Labaya. There's no Issa Yichud. So she gave him a cup of tea, and she gave him cookies, and then he left. Then the husband came back at the end of the day, so the wife told him that Ploini showed up, and she gave him a cup of tea. Says, go on, again to Shaila. Since he warned the wife that she shouldn't let Ploini into the house, so maybe that's a din of Kinui. And then the woman herself said, maybe you don't need Eidus L'Kima Dov, maybe the Stira, if it's Shabi Hanav, Shechatich Adisur, the husband believes the wife when she says that Ploini came. So maybe she's Asura Vaila. So the Beis HaLevi has a long two tshuvas, one after the other. He discusses whether the Edim that you need for the stira is that Edis L'Kimadov, Edis L'Biradov, and then the last paragraph in the second tshuva, he gets to the punchline, and he says, the whole Baber Dvar Mamurim, the whole Meduber of Kinu is, if he's Choshed Hab Znus, the husband is Choshed Znus, and he says, I'll Tistri Mishplani because of Znus. But if he says, I don't like Ploini, don't let him in the house, he's not choshed his wife business. So then the whole dinner, it's not kinyas dir. So that's two tshuvas in the basement. That was one of the rabbonim. The Rav from Pinsk had that shayla. They learned the same time in Valozhin. So yes, the Beis HaLevi that shayla. So there's a din of Soita, Anesha Sisha Zinso, violates Lysinov. And the Torah says three times, the Chumash has it by Soita Sofek. When the husband is choshed, the wife is not. So it says the word three times, v'nitmo, v'nitmo, v'nitmo. So the Gemara says, why is it repeated three times? V'nitmo is an isaresek. It's echel l'bal, v'echel l'boil, v'echel l'truma. It tells me three dinim, that if an Eish is Eish is Mezaneh, she has to get divorced from the husband, she's Asur Labayla. Secondly, she's not allowed to, after the husband divorced, she's not allowed to marry the Boyle, Asur Labayla. And the third, Viditma, means that if she happens to be a Baskayan, her father was a Kayan, and now she got married, let's say she marries a lady, or you saw she care, she can't eat truma because man she's married to a non-Kayan. Once her husband divorces her, then she's allowed to eat truma. But if she's v'nitma, but if she's an eshes ish azinsa, she's not allowed to eat truma. A zayna is not allowed to eat truma. So that's v'nitma, 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 is an iser essay. If that's an iser essay is, if it's a saita sofek, kinu estira. What if you had Adam testify that the woman was, what if it's a vadai, not a sofek? So then the Gemara says, not only do you have the iser essay, you have an iser lav. The pasuk says, "Liyuchod by la'rishan sheshilcha loshav lekachta achari ashehu tamo'o." Pasuk formulates the din of machzik gerushosai. If I was married to a girl and I got divorced, and then she marries someone else and she gets divorced, or the second husband dies, so then I'm not allowed to remarry her. If I was married to a girl and we get divorced, I can remarry her. That's not an aver, unless I'm a kohen. A kohen is not allowed to marry even grushas atzmo. If I'm married to a girl and I divorce and then she has an affair, she's mezana with someone, also I'm allowed to remarry her. It's only if I was married to her, I divorced her, and then she married someone else, and then he dies or he divorces her, then there's a din of machzik gerushos. Only machzik gerushos if she married someone else in between. So there's one tana, oh, it's in Yevamos. So there's one tana, Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur, he's hardly ever quoted in the Gemara, rarely quoted. Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur is of the opinion, here it is, on Daf Yud Aleph on the base, about five lines from the top. Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur, Oyman, the name of Rabbi Lezer, only a machzik gerushos min an isuin. If I divorce my wife and she only had an erusin with the second husband, then he divorces her, that I may remarry her. If she had an isuin with the second husband, and then the second husband divorces her or dies, then I'm not allowed to remarry her. Where does he get that from? Only machzik gerushos min an isuin, as opposed to machzik gerushos min an erusin. Because the pasuk says, "Lo yashav by lo harishon ashishilcha loshav lekachtara." The first husband is not allowed to remarry her. Achar yashavu tamo'o. What do you mean, achar yashavu tamo'o? What kind of a loshon is that? Achar yashav his katsha. Hu tamo'o sounds like tashmish. So he says that's only menanisun. But if they only had erisin, he was never really living with the second husband. So there's no isur at all. So we don't paskin like that. We paskin machzik gerushos as an isur deraisa even min ha erisin. We don't accept her of Yosef ben Kippur. So what does the phrase mean? Achrei Asher Tamor. So the Torah Shabbat Peh interprets the two different Yisuim. Lo Yashav by Lo Harishon Shishuch Lo Shav Lekachta. Machzik Gerushosa is a Lo Yisaseh. And then there's another din. The Achrei Asher Tamor. There's like a semicolon. I'm not allowed to remarry my wife or my divorce and she married someone else in between semicolon. And I'm not, let's say, if my wife was Mizana Vadai, Saita Vadai, and I divorced her, I'm not allowed to remarry her. That's a loisasi. If it's only Saita Sofek, there's Kinyas Tirits and Isaresi, Vinitma, Vinitma, Vinitma. But if it's a Vadai, Saita Vadai, then it's a real loisasi. In addition to the Isaresi, Vinitma, it's a loisasi as well. There'll be Malkus, yes. So that's the assumption over here. The wife thought that her husband was not alive anymore, so she goes and she remarries. And then she finds out the husband is alive, so she's an Eishes Ish, Shezinsa, she's a Saita Vadai. So it says, Vachkapo, Baila Teitse Mizeh Mizeh. She has to get divorced from the first husband and from the second husband. She's a Saita Suela Baila Masuela Boil, Suicha Get Mizeh Mizeh. She needs a get from the first husband, she was married to the first husband. Why does she need a get from the second husband? That's the question. Why does she need a get? The Gedushim were not Typhson. She was an Eishes Ish. So why does she need a get? So the get from the second husband is clearly only Midirabbana. What's the basis of the din? Why should she need a get Midirabbana? So that's a big machloikas. That's a big machloikas in Rishonim. Let's say today, a woman is married, chuppah v'kiddushin, and then they get civilly divorced, and then she goes and she marries someone else when the first husband is still alive. She never got a get from the first husband. So would you require a get midirabbanan from the second husband? Maybe it's only in this case, because the Bezdin, the Gemara is going to explain the Mishnah, the Bezdin gave a permission to remarry. So the Bezdin gave a permission, then the husband comes back alive. So the people are going to wonder what's going on here. So Shema Yomer Girish Zeh Minos Hazeh. People would think that Beis Din allowed her to remarry Mistama. They ascertain that the first husband went to, the first husband is alive. How did she remarry? It must be that the first husband must have given her a get before she married the second husband. So that's Amara's sign. Shema Yomer Girish Zeh Minos Hazeh. The people will think that the husband, the first husband, probably gave her a get. Otherwise, I did best not allow her to remarry. But let's say in this case, Ma'asim B'chol Yom, a woman gets a civil divorce. She goes, she's not observant. She goes and she remarries. No bezin told her she's allowed to remarry. You should go to any bezin will tell you, you need a get. You're not allowed to remarry. So that's a big machlek is the Rashba and Talmidei HaRashba. So the Talmidei HaRashba held that you don't need a get. The only time you need a get with the Rabbanah from the second husband is if there was a heter bezin. Bezin mistakenly told her, Bezin heard from the Eid Echad. The Eid Echad said the husband died. So the Bezin was hitiru lehinase. So then we make a chumrim with the Rabban Hashem. Yomru girish zeh minosazeh. V'nimtzaseish yotze b'loi get. It's a marriage sign, people will think. But if the woman on her own just remarried, so Tamiri Rajba hold that you don't need a get. And the Rajba disagreed. The Pashto should really be like the Tamiri HaRajba. Pasha should really be that she doesn't need a get. But we're machmar on that. But if there are other tzadim lahakal, then we are mekel. This comes up all the time. This comes up all the time. That women just remarry without a get. So midirabbanon. Midirabbanon, we're machmar. Even though the more correct is really like Tamir. So Chubas HaRashba. We quote the Tamirim disagreed with him. So the later poskim say, really more correct is the Tamir HaRashba, right? Well, we require get. So we say she's not allowed to live with the first husband, not allowed to live with the second husband, because it's sait asuel baila, asuel aboil. But she needs a get from the first husband. She's still married to the first husband. The first get from the first husband, that's menatar. The get from the second husband, that's only with the rabbanon. And the Gemara says because shem yom giri zeh menos hazeh, benimtza says she says she yotze b'loi get.
There was no marriage to the second husband.
Right.
There was no marriage to the second husband.
Minatar, there was no marriage to the second.
No, she got a civil divorce, and she didn't get married with the rabbi in the second
husband. Ah.
So there's no marriage.
Okay, then you don't need a get. Okay, then you don't need a get. If there's a civil marriage, so that was a big machloikis in recent years. If a couple is married civilly, and then later on they get divorced, would you require a get? So there was a rav in London. Way before the Second World War, his name was Ferber, Rabbi Hirsch Ferber. He learned in Slabodka. He wrote memoirs of what was going on in Slabodka, very fascinating memoirs. All kinds of stories there that no one ever dreamed would ever happen in Slabodka. Juicy stories. So he wrote quite a few swarms. And one of his swarms was he corresponded to all the different batidinim in Europe and in America to ask, what do you do if there's a couple that had a civil marriage, but they never had chuppah v'kedushin. Do you require a get when they get divorced? So most of the batidinim all over the world said, l'chatchilu en machman to require a get, but mikra adin, if the husband doesn't want to give a get, she can remarry without the get. And the only two who insisted that you really need a get, l'ikuva, were the Ragachover and Rav Henkin from New York. That's really right. Rav Henkin held that a civil marriage, we assume, eidon amosu bilosu biloznus. And when they're living together, he probably had in mind he's Mekadosh Bibiya. So that's the question, does that apply to Zman HaZeh? People live together all the time. Shalom L'shem issues. You say, Ein and Moshe Bilos Bilos Nus. They never had a Chuppah V'Kiddushin. Who says Ein and Moshe Bilos Bilos Nus? So that's why most of the poskim didn't agree with that. So that's a Shaila. Okay. These shots come up all the time.
There's also common law marriage.
And you need a civil divorce.
Yes.
And you need a civil divorce, right? So that's a shot. The common law marriage, do you need a get? Would it then require that you should need? Should you assume, years ago there was such an umdah. People were more decent, especially a religious person is more decent, and he wouldn't want to live with the woman if he knows that he's not married. He thought he was married. If he would have known he's not married, he would have had a mind to be Mekadosh Bibiya. So we would assume, and his boy l'shem kiddushim. But today, that's a question whether that chazok, whether that ruba d'leisa kamon applies or not. So the Mishnah has this penalty over here. The problem is, this is only eshes ishes in sa beratzen. She knows that she's married, she's having an affair with someone else. if an Eshes Ish is Nensa, someone rapes her, so she doesn't become a Soita. She's not Asur al-Bab, Asur al-Aboil. Or if the woman thought it was her husband, or the woman thought her husband was dead. Eid Echad came, and the Bezin Hitiru Elenas, Bezin said she's allowed to remarry. So how was she supposed to know that the husband is still alive? The Bezin made a mistake. The Bezin, the Gemara is going to explain, the Reisha of the Mishnah is talking, the Bezin allowed her to remarry. So the whole din that you treat him like an Eshes Ish is insubordinate, and the whole thing is a penalty of the Rabbanim. Because the din is Eid Echad, usually is Eina Nemon, by the Avishab Yervoa, and to determine, to ascertain whether a woman is an Eshes Ish or not, whether the husband is alive or not, that's the original, that should be a Dovishab Yervoa. That's Mamsha Dovishab Yervoa. So the Chachamim were makel to say Eid Echad should be believed. So the Gemara says, why were they makel? The Gemara has two explanations. So one explanation is that it's a Milsa Davida Leglui Loi Meshakri Inshi. Milsa Davida Leglui Loi Meshakri Inshi. The Gemara has another cases. The Gemara has, let's say, there's a Nochri who's selling kosher eggs. There are hens lay eggs. So the hen is a kosher bird, so lays an egg, so the egg is kosher. But if you have the ostrich, the Pasuk says, Basayana is Asa Bachila. What's a Basayana? Only a female ostrich. And the male ostrich, they're male and they're females. Only a female ostrich is also. Muslim, the Basayana beans, Beitza Soiftome. If you have a non-kosher bird, lays an egg. An eagle lays an egg. So not only the eagle is treif, the egg that it lays is also treif. So if a Nochri is selling eggs, so he tells me that this is from hens. It's kosher eggs from a kosher bird. So that, strictly speaking, the Nochri shouldn't have any nemonis because he doesn't keep kosher. The Mishnah says, a Jew is only nemon on kashrus if he observes kashrus. That's a Mishnah in Pchorus, a Daf Lamed. If a person doesn't observe, let's say the person keeps kosher at home, but when they eat out in a restaurant, they don't keep kosher. So then he doesn't have namanas on kashrus. He only has namanas on kashrus if he's careful never to eat non-kosher food. Or let's say the mikvah lady says she did a hashoke, and the mikvah is kosher. But if the mikvah lady herself doesn't observe taras hamishpacha, then she's not namanas on the mikvah to say that it's kosher. If a person, let's say, doesn't keep kosher, but they keep taras hamishpacha, so they don't have namanas on kashrus, but they have on the mikvah. If a person, whatever you observe, you have namanas on that. Whatever you don't observe, you don't have namanas. If you have a nochri doesn't observe kashrus, so the nochri is going to tell me that these are kosher eggs. He can't take his word for it. So the Gemara says in Chulin, that's okay, because when you're going to take the eggs home, he claims that these are hen's eggs. We're going to take the egg home, you're going to crack it open, you'll tell right away, you'll be able to tell right away, after from the outside you can't tell. When you open it up, you're able to tell by the shape of the yolk of the egg and the white part of the egg. You can tell whether it's from a kosher bird or a non-kosher bird. Thank you. So the Gemara says, the Nochri is not going to try to pull a fast one. He's not going to tell me a lie. He's going to get caught red-handed in the lie. I'm going to go home. I'm going to crack open the eggs and prepare something. I'm going to tell all my friends, don't buy from the guy. He's a liar. He told me, he sold me treif eggs, and he told me that they were kosher. So no one wants to get caught red-handed in a lie. So that's what the Gemara says, Milsa David L'Galoy L'Mishak Mitch. So that case, it's a vadois who's going to get caught red-handed in the lie. I'm going to take the eggs home. I'm going to use them right away. So of course I'm going to know whether he lied or not. Okay, that's another room. But the Gemara says this one. The Gemara says, because Milsa David L'Galoy L'Mishak Mitch. That's what the Gemara says. But over here, the husband went to the army, or he went to Medina Sayyam. He didn't show up in a few years. So who says he's ever going to show up? How do you know? It's a vadois that the husband is going to come. Bohorig Baraglov, Bo Bailo Achakach. Maybe he will come, maybe he won't come. Maybe the Pashto says, Milson David Loim Shakarinchi, people will never say a lie if they know they're going to get caught red-handed in the lie. But maybe they will get caught, maybe they won't get caught. People will tell a lie. So it's very questionable whether it's really a legitimate tam, what the Gemara says. So then the Gemara gives another svara, why we accept Eid Echad over here, by Meis Pailas. And the Gemara says, Metochem Shechmata Baleo B'Soifo Ikalto Aleho B'Tchi Losa. We tell the woman in advance, there's an Eid Echad, really the din is that you have to have two Eidim to say that your husband is dead, that you should be permitted to remarry. You have a case where there's an Eid Echad says the husband is dead, We ask you, do your own private research, hire a detective, try to ascertain whether the husband is alive or dead. And keep in mind, if it's going to turn out that the husband is alive, you're going to suffer, there are going to be a lot of penalties. Your children from the first husband, second husband are going to be mamzerim, and no one's going to have to give you any ksuba, and you're going to have to get divorced from both husbands. Etc. All the things that appear in the Mishnah. You're going to suffer at the end. So we tell you, you better check into it in advance before you remarry. And if you think that if you're convinced that your husband is dead, okay, so go ahead and remarry. Then she goes, she's checked into it, and the husband, and she remarries, then the husband comes back alive. So then we warned her in advance. So that's because we warned her in advance, we assume that she's going to be Isha Daiko and Minsuba. She's going to check into it more. And that's why we rely on the Erechot, we rely on her, that she'll check up.
But the first case of the Mishnah is that they're two-way.
The Gemara is going to explain. The first part goes that there's Erechot. If there are two Edim, then you don't penalize her. But if there's only, even though it says in plural, Bol V'Omelo, sounds like there were two Edim. So the Gemara is going to explain the first line in the Gemara. They're going to explain that the Reisha is Bishus Bezen, that she needed Bezen to allow her to remarry Ubi Erechot. That's the first two lines after the Mishnah is over. That the Reisha, the Mishnah goes based on Erechot. So those are the two explanations that the Gemara gives. So again, so Menatoira, she's really not an Eshe Zisha Zinsa. It's not called a Soita. It's like Nensa. It's like she thought it was Beheta. The Bezen told her she's allowed to remarry. Bezen told her, you check into it. And if you're convinced that your husband is dead, you're allowed to remarry. So she just followed the instruction. She checked into it. She thinks the husband is dead. So it's a penalty, Medirabbanan, that she should have checked better.
Where's the mamza from the first one?
Yeah, it says, the vlad is a mamza mizem mizeh. The Mishnah has laid it. The vlad is a mamza mizem mizeh. So the children from the second husband, we understand why they're mamzerim, because she's an eshes ish to the first husband. But if she goes back to the first husband, why are they mamzerim? Why should they be mamzerim? So there's a big machlokes harishonim. You see Rabbi Kivega here. Rabbi Kivega tells you, look in the Tosfos on Memtes on the base. Libra Maschos Soita Nami. So the Gemara there has a vlad from a Soita. There's a Machlokes Hatanaim. When is a child considered a Mamza? So Rabbi Kiva was very Machmer. Rabbi Kiva holds a vlad Mamza even from Chayvi Lavin. So the Gemara says Rabbi Kiva was outvoted. The Gemara says he was outvoted. He declares every time a woman marries Bisa, the child is going to be a mamzer. That's too chomer. We pass on halacha, the vlad is only a mamzer if it's a nisa erva. A nisa erva means chavi krisis. That's our boal eshesish, a boal achos, a boal ima, boal bito, real gili arai. So what about boal hasoito? What about ishta soito? So ishta soito, the pasuk says v'nitma three times. The pasuk says v'nitma by soito safik. And the Gemara says on Daf Yud Aleph, that Daf we were reading before, Tumaksiv bo karai. By Soita, the Chumash uses the word v'nitma'o, and it says that expression by the Arayis, and Achrei Mois Kedoshim, Al titamba b'chalei l'ki b'chalei nitma'o gam asher lefnechem v'atoki horetz es yoshveha. So the word Tumak appears by Soita, Tumaksiv bo karai. So Soita, even though there's no karis, should really be treated. The Gemara says certain dinim, the soita is treated like chavi krisis. So should they say the vlad is a mamzer from a soita? The Gemara says no. There's a pasuk that even if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, even if the din would have been like Rabbi Akiva, that a vlad mamzer from chavi lavin, but a soita, a vlad is not a mamzer, and we need that din even though we don't accept Rabbi Akiva, because by soita it says the word tumah, domuksiv bak arayis, even though there's no karis, should have been treated like arayis. So the Gemara has a separate pasuk at Memtas on the base. So Tosfos there quotes a machlokes Rabbeinu Chananel and the Ri. Is the vlad a mamzer midirabbanan? So Rabbeinu Chananel says that's what it says in the Mishnah. The woman is a soita lebaila. The woman is only a soita midirabbanan to the first husband. Menatoret eshesish zinsa b'shoyge. She thought everything was mutter. The Bezin told her everything is fine. But midirabbanan we treat her like a soita. We machmer we treat her like a soita. So the vlad men asoita is a mamzer. The Vlad Ben Hasheni is a mamzer because she's an Eishes Ish. But what if the first husband gave her a get and then she stays with the second husband? First husband comes back from Medina Sayyam, sees his wife is living with someone else, he gives her a get. So she's no longer an Eishes Ish, but she's a Saita. The Saita is Asur Abal, Asur Abal. She stays with the second husband. When the Vlad be a mamzer, from the second husband, after the first husband gave her a get. So Rabbi Hananel says yes, and he proves it because the Vlad is mamzer from the first husband. What the first husband should not an Eishes Ish. So he says the Vlad is a mamzer because she's a Saita. Even though the Gemara says Memtes and Beis, Hakol Moedim, all the Tanaim agreed that the Vlad from a Saita is not a mamzer, but Midrabbanan it's a mamzer. Midrabbanan it's not a mamzer, Midrabbanan it's a mamzer. That's it to Rabbi Hananel. So usually we have respect for the Rabbi Hananel's opinions. Taisus has a lotion called Rav Debi Kabbalah. Once in a while, Ben Hananel says something that's a little strange. So Taisus always has their Acheretz. Ben Hananel had traditions from the days of the Goinim, but over here they just paskin against Rabbi Hananel. Taisus says they don't accept it. The Vlad is not a mamzer, even with the Rabbanan by Saita. So why is the Vlad a mamzer from the first husband? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, because since he needed get from the second husband, with the Rabbanan, people would think the woman remarried and doesn't allow her to remarry. Must be that the first husband came back alive. So how did Bezna allow her to remarry? So the answer is Bezna made a mistake. But the Hamayinam won't realize that. They'll assume that the Bezna passed correctly. They'll assume Bezna must have ascertained the first husband must have given her a get before he went to Medina Sayyam. So it's Kozman you need a get from the first husband. Kozman you need a get from the second husband. Then she's an Eishes Ish Legabi, the first husband. That's why the Vlad is a mamzer. But the minute the second husband gives her the get mid the Rabbanan, and she goes back to the first husband, then the Vlad will not be a mamzer. That's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, they paskan against the Rabbein Hananel. Rabbein Hananel says, the Vlad is a mamzer from the Rishon and from the Sheni, because she's a Saita Asur ala Baal, Asur ala Boil. And even though the Vlad min Asaita is not a mamzer min Atari, but mid the Rabbanan, it's a mamzer. And Tosfos says, we don't accept the Rabbein Hananel. We paskan like the Ri. That the Vlad is a mamzer from the Sheni, Kozman, the first husband doesn't give a get. After the first husband gives a get, the Vlad ben Hasheni will not be a mamzer. If she has she becomes pregnant after the first husband gives a get. And so too, the Vlad ben Arishan, if she goes back to the first husband, the Vlad will be a mamzer. Kozman, the second husband didn't give her a get. She needs a get mid Rabbanu from the second husband. So we consider her an Eishes Ish to the second husband. After the second husband gives her a get, and she went back to the first husband, Shaloi Kedin, then we say in Shulchan Aruch, the Vlad will not be a mamzer. Yeah. So that's Machloikas of Ben Hananel Neri, quoted in the Tosfos Memtes on the days. And in Shulchan Aruch, we don't pass him like Rabbein Hananel.
So what if this mamzer from the first marriage gets married himself? Does he need... and now it turns out he's a mamzer. Does he need to divorce his wife?
Yeah, Kiddushin Atopsin the mamzer. The Vlad from the first husband is only a mamzer mid the Rabbanan, so he cannot marry a mamzer who's minatur. The Vlad from the second husband is a real mamzer minatur. It's a real Eishes Ish Zinsa. Even though it's b'shogi b'ayin is gomer, but even if a woman is raped, an Eishes Ish is raped and she has a baby, the baby will be a mamzer.
Rabbi
Yaakov Emden has such a humorous tshuva that's not accepted at all. He says if an Eishes Ish was raped and she became pregnant, you're allowed to do an abortion, because the baby that's born will be a mamza. So what do you mean? You're allowed to murder the baby because it's going to be a mamza. You give birth to the mamza and you give megitzah haneitzah. You figure out how to deal with the mamza. You're not allowed to perform an abortion. He holds there's no issa. He holds there's no issa to perform an abortion. There are three different opinions. What's the halachic position about abortions? So one sheet is that it's an issa deraisa, one sheet is an issa derabon, one sheet the het gomer. Rabbi Yaakov Emden holds that it's het gomer. So not only do we not accept that is at the gum, but we don't accept the second shita either, that abortions is only an isa derais. Taisus in Sanhedrin has a rife in the Gemara that abortions is an isa derais. The only time we allow an abortion is if the mother's life is in danger. Then mishum pikvach nefesh, she can do it.
But so the one from the first marriage, he's a mamzer, and then he needs to divorce his wife. Let's say he already has a child.
His children will be mamzerim also?
Midrabbanan,
yeah. And Kiddushin Atofsin, even with a mamzer deraisa, certainly with a mamzer derabbanan, Kiddushin Atofsin. Kedushin Tovsin doesn't mean that b'diavad they can remain married. Kedushin Tovsin, they have to get divorced. But you need a get. If a man marries his sister, then he doesn't have to give her a get. Mary Min Lisbon and Esh Zish, he doesn't have to give her a get. And Kedushin, a man marries a mamzer, a mamzeres, then you need a get minatoira. And you have to give the get right away. They can't. You don't say b'diavad they can live together.
And this is all because of a penalty?
Yeah, this is a penalty. The whole thing is a penalty that we treat her as an Esh Zish, a Zinsa Berot, and it's really Ba'inus. It's not her fault because the Bezdin told her she's allowed to marry. But we, in order to allow her to rely on the Erechot in the first place, Erechot really should not be Nemon by Meis Baila. It's really a Dovah Shabiyara. So the Gemara gives these two explanations. Why did they allow? Rabbi Kiva said in the earlier generation, that was Psak HaMekubo, Erechot is good by Meis Baila. Why? So the one explanation was, we tell the woman in advance, you have to investigate, and if you'll be convinced that your husband is dead, so then you can remarry. So if it turns out that she didn't investigate, well, it turns out the husband is alive, and he comes back, then we have all the penalties. The penalties were introduced when the Rabbanon, they're an exaggeration, all the penalties are exaggeration, to see to it that the women should check out well in advance. They shouldn't just remarry based on the Erecha. So question is,
let's say there are two Adam, like the Pasha Pshat. So, yeah. So then there is no penalty?
Then you don't have the penalty, right. That's what the Gemara explains. If there were two Adam who said the husband is dead, then it turns out that it's not so. Then you don't have any of the penalty. The penalty was only introduced in order that they should have namanas by the Erecha. To make it Isha Daiko Minzvah, that the woman should know, in case she doesn't investigate properly, in case the husband is still alive, she's going to suffer all the consequences. Bezdin investigates the Erechot, but Bezdin has no time to go investigate. They should really send shluchim detectives to that community. Husband to Medina Sayyam says, send somebody to Medina Sayyam to find out whether the husband is alive or dead. So we say that's the wife's responsibility. It costs money. Well, it costs money. So if she wants to remarry, so let her invest the money.
Two Adam, if she remarries, will be a mamzer for the second one, no?
Two Adam, the children from the second husband, will be mamzer min haTorah, yeah. But you won't have all these penalties, the rest of the story. Whatever is a penalty, an exaggeration, but the Rabbanon, that you're not going to have. So Nachamol, so the Mishnah is talking, Erechot came and said, Meis Baila, Biti Ruali Nase, and then Hakach Bo Baila, Teitzim Mizeh Mizeh, she's not allowed to remain with the first husband or the second husband because Asoita Kishem Shasur Labal Kach Asur Labal. So we treat her mid the Rabbanon as if she were an Esh Zish Shezin Sabirot. It's not really so. It's a Chumra mid the Rabbanon to begin with that she's Asoita. And then Tzricha Get Mizeh Mizeh, the get from the first husband, we understand that's Benatot. Why does she need a get from the second husband? So that's a Chumra. The machlok is the Rajman, the Tamni the Raj, but the Pashtus is and the Gemara, Hashem Yom, but people will think, Girish Zev and also Zev. They'll think the first husband must have given a get. Otherwise, how come the Bezdin allowed her to remarry? So the Bezdin, they'll think that the husband gave her a get and she was actually Mekudeshes to the second husband. So you need a get Midirabonim from the second husband. They ain't look Ksuba. Usually when a husband divorces his wife, he has to pay Ksuba. Ksuba is a lot of money. So here there's a penalty. Neither has to pay Ksuba. Not the first husband, not the second husband. Well, lo Peris. What's the story with Peris Nichsim Elug? So Peris, that's a takonim of the Rabbanim. That, let's say, the wife has a savings account. That's a questionable case. That's an issue that comes out today. Let's say the wife has an apartment building. A single girl, she has a lot of money, she has an apartment building. And then the apartment building brings in a lot of rent. Or let's say she has a farm, and a lot of peres grow on the farm. So the husband is entitled to take the peres nechsem elul. But over here, since the ishus is incomplete, a woman who's a soita, an eshes ish as in says a soita, so the pasuk says v'nitma'a. It says v'nitma'a three times by the soita sofik. What does it mean v'nitma'a? So the Avni Nezer has a tshuva where he quotes from the Kuzari. an interesting idea. It's really going to come in the Gemara here. The Kuzari is a historical novel written by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, who was a student of the Rif. And part of it is a chunk of history, that there was a period of time that the Jews were controlling big chunks of Russia. I think we once spoke about it, that under the communists, they didn't allow publication of all of the research that they did about the Khuzarim. And then when communism collapsed a couple of years ago, so then they started to publish the research. Big chunks of Russia were under the control of the Khuzarim. The Khuzarim were Jewish. Why? Because the Melech HaKuzarim, they were all of the Avodah Zarah. And Melech HaKuzarim had a recurrent dream. The dream was that they're telling him in Hashemayim, Kavanoscha Ritzuya, Aval Masecha Einim Ritzuyim. You have nice, elegant ideas. You want to be religious. You want to be a religious man, but you're worshipping the wrong religion. They had the same dream a few times. So he figured he has to investigate the different religions. So the story goes, part of the story is a fact. The rest is it's a historical novel. So Rabbi Yehuda Halevi made up some of the details. Some of the details are factual. So he invited, the way Rabbi Yehuda Halevi writes it, he invited a representative of the Christian religion, representative of Islam. He didn't think to invite a representative of the Jewish religion because the Jews were so downtrodden. He didn't think that it could possibly be that the Jewish religion is the true religion. So he only invited the representative from Islam and then Christianity. So each one was giving a presentation about their religion. So they both said their religion is a carryover from the Jewish religion. So he said he better investigate the Jewish religion. So he had a chaver, he had a rabbi give a presentation of the Jewish religion. So he fell in love with the Jewish religion. And the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi describes the way they had a whole conversation, questions and answers, the way the Melech HaKuzarim is posing questions, and the Chavah, the rabbi, is giving answers, and he gives a whole presentation about the Jewish religion. So the story was that he converted, then he had the cabinet converted, then had all the people converted. And there were quite a while that the big chunks of Russia were under control of this Khuzari government. So part of the conversation that he has, we know for a fact that the Jewish community in Cordova in Spain used to correspond with the Khuzarim. They sent them letters about Chizuk and Shmiras HaMitzvot. They would send from time to time Rabbonim to teach them. That's a fact. And the rest is a novel. The rest of the story is a novel. So part of the conversation that he writes up is that the Melech HaKuzarim asks the rabbi, if you people are so religious and you follow everything that it says in the Bible, so how come when a man becomes a Balkari, he doesn't go to mikveh? And you touch a dead sheretz, you don't go to mikveh. So, but it says in the Bible, you say you follow everything in the Bible. So the rabbi answers back, Tumah, when a person becomes Tumah, Tumah is a tie to the Sasri with Kedusha. We live so far away from Eretz Yisrael. They lived in Russia or in Spain, wherever the Chava was from. We live so far away, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have Truma, we don't have Kutch, we don't have Maisa Sheni. We don't have anything. No one's entering the Beis HaMikdash. No one's makru kabban, is eating kabban, eating truma. So the whole issue of tuma v'tar is irrelevant. Tuma is only an issue. It's a stira to kedusha, and we don't have any dvarim kedush. So then he asks him, so how come you insist that your wives have to go to mikveh? If you tell me that you don't have any kedusha, so he has the famous line, no, taras ha-mishpacha, the women have to go to mikveh, has nothing to do with tuma v'tar. It's unrelated. Many quote that from the Khuzari, that the Khuzari has this chiddush, that women have to marry, the women have to go to mikveh, has nothing to do with Tumah V'Taharah. So Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say, what do you need? Rabbi Zevin has a whole essay about HaKuzari B'Halacha, the different halachas that you find in the Khuzari. So much of it is about the dateline. The Khuzari has where the international dateline is. That's a major source. But he has this also, that the Khuzari says that married women have to observe Taharas HaMishpacha, has nothing to do with Tumas Nida. It's a separate din. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to laugh. So he said, what do you need the Khuzari? It's a Tosfos in Bava Kamma. And Daf Yud Aleph, the Shev Shmaitzer says enough in the Tosfos that Nida Labayim has nothing to do with Nida for Tumah V'Tahara. It's an unrelated, different topic. So the Avnei Nezer picks up this line that Tumah is a tie to the Sasri with Kedusha. So he's explaining Gagamar based on this. So he says, how come it says V'nitmo, V'nitmo, V'nitmo by the Saita? Tumah is a tie to the Sasri with Kedusha. So he says, when a couple gets married, we call it Kedushin. What does it mean? We have introduced an element of Kedusha into their lives that wasn't there before. The Gemara says, Hariat Mekudesha is a Lishna Derabbanan. The Gemara says in the first daf in Kedusha. If you say, Hariat Mu'ureh says, Hariat Ishti, Hariat Negdosi, Talosi, Ezrosi, and Parshas Bereshit says, Eser La'ezer Kenegdoi. So if a man tells the girl, Hariat Ezrosi, Hariat Negdosi, Eser La'ezer Kenegdo, Hariat Talosi, Vikach Tzela, Achas Min Tzaloisa, so that's a biblical expression for marriage. But if you say, Hariat Mekudeshesli, that's only a Lishna Derabbanan. That's a rabbinical terminology. So the Avnei Ezer writes, others write also. It's a rabbinical, the Lashon is a Lishton Derabbanan, but the concept is a concept deraisa. That when a couple gets married, an element of Kedusha is introduced into their lives. But the moment the wife is Mizane, Tachas Baila, so then it's called Vinitma, why? Because Tuma is attacked to the Sasu with Kedusha, so it breaks the issues, partially. She still needs a get. If the woman is married and she's Mizane, Tachas Baila, she needs a get. You don't say the marriage falls apart, but the marriage is incomplete on the level of deraisa. Let's say a kohen marries a grusha. He's supposed to get divorced. Kiddush and a kohen marries a grusha. Because man that they're married, if she takes a neder, the husband could be made for the neder. You don't say the marriage is incomplete. The husband is made for the nedarim. During erisin, husband cannot be made for the nedarim without shutvis of the father. She's an ira hamras. During the suin, the husband is made for alone. So if a man is married to a mamzeris, it's a full issues, he can be made for the nedarim. You're supposed to divorce her right away. But Kolzman, he didn't divorce him. She took a neder while they're married. He can be made for the nedarim. It's a gemara later. But over here, if a couple is married and the wife is mizana tachas bayla, the gemara sounds like minatora. The husband cannot be made for the nedarim because the ishus is incomplete. And then the Bartanura, who wrote a commentary on Mishnah, his halacha has a commentary on Rashi ala Torah. They have in the old Mikros Gedolos and the Shulzinger. They have it at the back of each chumash. It's called Amar Noka, Tzer Manoki, the Pirush Amar Noka. So there's a Rashi on chumash, usually quotes from the Tanoim. So the pasuk in Achrei Mos Kedoshim says that you're not about to be bo'al eshesish, and if someone is mezana with an eshesish, a mesu gam shneihem. What is it? How come it says gam? What is gam? Gam is usually marbe. So the Torah's Kohanim, the Sifra says, and a mesu gam shneihem, gam le rabbis haboyim me'achareim. What does that mean? Gam is a riba, the rabbis haboy me'achareim. So some interpret that you give the woman misa even if she's pregnant, even if she's going to have a baby. The Mishnah in Erech, in the end of the first paragraph, says you give her the death penalty even though there's a boy me'achareim. Even though there's a vlad involved, you kill her with the vlad. Others say, how does that fit in haboy me'achareim? So others interpret haboy me'achareim if he had tashmish shalok kedarka. Instead of having tashmish in the front, he has tashmish in the back. So Tashmash Shalok Kedarka is also Chaim. So he said, what kind of a Lashon? Boy Me'achareim. Say, Gam L'Rab is Shalok Kedarka. What do you call a boy Me'achareim? So the Bartanura learns Pshat, it's a Rashi who's quoting a Torah's Kohanim. So he interprets what it means is, if an Eishes Ish is Insa with one man, so she's Chaim Misa. What is she Mizana afterwards with another man? So one might have thought, when she's Mizana with the first one, the Ishus is already broken partially. So it's only chotzushir of issues. And maybe if she's mezana with someone else, the boil sheni should not be chayv misa, because she's only a chotzushir of an eshes ish. She's not a full eshes ish. So that's gam le rabbis haboyim me'achareim. The boil sheni is also chayv misa. So Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes this from the Amar Noka, and one of his sons say a chiddush. He says, but that chiddush, that's what the Avnei Nezer shows. That's a gemara like that, and that's what the gemara says in Saita, on the first parak in Saita. It's a gemara in Yevamos also, Yudal from the base. Let's say a couple was married, and the wife was mezana, tachas bailo. The wife was mezana, and then the husband dies, leaving no children. So do you say that the brother, the surviving brother, has the right to do yibum mechalitza? The gemara says, no, he can't do yibum. He can't do yibum, because the issues that she had with the husband was incomplete. Once she's mezana beratzen, Eishes Ish is Insa is called the Nitmo, and Tum is attacked to the Sasri with Kedusha, and the marriage is called Kedusha. So the Ishus is incomplete. So when you have a full Ishus, then you have a full Zika. So the Yovam can either do Chalitza or Yibma. If you have an incomplete Ishus, so the Ishus, she's not Muteris Labaila. She's only Asura La'alma. Usually in Ishus, there are two parts. She's Muteris Labaila, and asura kuli alma. Here, the eshes isha zinsa, the saito, has an incomplete isha. The husband cannot be mefer in the dorm. Not like a kohen marries a grusha, Yisrael marries a mamzeres, it's a full isha, and he's supposed to give a get. Here, the isha is broken. The isha is partially incomplete. So, the Gemara says you can't have any yibum. You can only have yibum if the ishus was complete. So then you can either have yibum or chalitza. But if the ishus was incomplete when the husband was alive, so that element of the ishus is what heta lebaila is what leads to the heta leyavim. So you can't have that. So that's going to be the Gemara is going to explain that here. We have to keep that in mind when we continue. Yeah. Okay, we're going to continue Belinetta next week, maybe next week, Tuesday night. Talk about Purim. Okay, so after we'll continue in this perek. Isha Rab is a famous perek, important dinim. Yeah. In Parshas Vayikra, you have about Korban Chatos. So it says a few times the expression, when the person becomes aware, it's a few times by the Korban Chatos, when he realizes that he did an Avera, then he has to bring a Korban Chatos. So the din is that a Chatos is not Bo Ben Edom and Adov. You can't volunteer a Chatos. A Nochri cannot volunteer. Nochri can only volunteer a Korban Oil or Korban Shlomim. You can't volunteer a Chatos in an Oshim or a Korban Pesach. It's not Bo Ben Edom and Adov. And Israel can't volunteer it either. So the din is, Taisvus in the beginning of Shavuos has this. Let's say, Amotzoi Shabbos, a man is a Baal Tshuva. He doesn't know Hilchot Shabbos so well. He has an uncomfortable feeling. He may have been Mechal Shabbos. So he's so nervous, he's Mafrish a Korban Chatos. But he doesn't know. He can't be Makar of a Korban Chatos. It'll be Chulin Bazara if he didn't Mechal Shabbos. So he goes to classes, and every week he learns more about Shabbos. And finally, 3 months later, he finds out, yeah, he did a malacha on that Shabbat, a real malacha deraisa v'shoigeg. He never heard of it, and he's chayv to bring a chatas. He brings a chatas to the Beis HaMikdash that he set aside. So Tosha says it's chulim bazar because at the time he was magdashit, he wasn't yet mechuyev. It's not that until you have idea sachet, you can't be makrevit because it may be chulim bazar. It's not bobin edu adova. There's no chiyev to be magdash a chatas until you have idea sachet. The whole chiyev to do tshuva is only after you have idea sachet. Before idea sachet, there's no chiyuv to do tshuva. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested that some of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yoyna and the Rambam and a few other Rishonim write that all year long there's a chiyuv to do tshuva. His father was Avinam, the Rambam, they're getting Hilchot Tshuva, writes all year long there's a mitzvah to do tshuva. But then he sounds like he says that on Yom Kippur, you should purify yourselves in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by doing tshuva and by reciting vidui on Yom Kippur. There's a special mitzvah to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day like every day of the year. Every day there's a chiyuv to do tshuva. So what is nischadish on Yom Kippur? Rav Soloveitchik suggests that maybe that's the difference, that all year long, the chiyuv to do tshuva is only once I have yediyah sachet. If I'm aware that I did an avera, then you have to do tshuva. The person is not so knowledgeable. He doesn't know that he did an avera. So he should become more knowledgeable, okay? But on Yom Kippur, one has a chiyuv to review all of his actions of the whole year long, to think into it, not to imagine averus, to think over maybe he did something that's not proper. All year long, the chiyuv tshuva is only after yediyah sachet. But on Yom Kippur, maybe there's a chiyuv lefashish b'maisav or lemashbish b'maisav to try to ascertain that maybe there is an aver over there. There's such a discussion about bal yiroh by motzi. Are you in violation of Bal Yiroah by Matzah and Chametz Sheni Yodua? Maybe only Mechuyev to destroy the Chametz HaYodua, Chametz Sheni Yodua not. So that's a Shaila. That's a discussion in the Rishon. It's a little bit similar to over here. The Gemara has a difference in Biur Avodah Zarah. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a mitzvah. Abeiti Abdunas Kalam Kamas Hashrabdu Sham Agoyim Esavahim Alaharim. You have to destroy Avodah Zarah. So it says, a Kefalosh and Abeiti Abdun. Why kefal loshen? So the Gemara says, "Beretz Yisrael tzorach l'shavish achreya." You have to search all over. Maybe you'll find some of it. So you have to have a clean country. It should be clean. The garbage should be collected, and it should, like on the bottles, on the soda bottles in Eretz Yisrael, So it says, Shmor al nikayon ha'aretz. Don't throw the soda bottles in the street. Throw it in the garbage can. You have to have, Eretz Yisrael should be clean in Gashmias and should be clean in Ruchnias. You have to dispose of all the Avodah Zarah. In Chutz Lartz is also a chiyuv to destroy Avodah Zarah, but it's only Avodah Zarah that's tachas yotcha, Avodah Zarah that you know about. And it's your home. I bought a house from a goy, and I know that there's a tree. There's an Asherah tree there. So then I have an obligation to destroy the tree. I'm not mechuyev to go to another city, to the next door neighbor, and go burn the Asherah there, burn the Avodah Zarah that he had. I'm not mechuyev to go raise Sveikis. If I know that there's Avodah Zarah, you have to burn it. There's a din of Bir Avodah Zarah. So that's a shadow. What about Bir Chometz? Bir Chometz is only on the Chometz HaYodua, or even on the Chometz She'eni Yodua. But that, the Rav Soloveitchik suggests, maybe that's the difference between the Chiyuv Tshuva all year long and the Chiyuv Tshuva on Yom Kippur. Chiyuv Tshuva all year long only begins after Hodeh Lo Chatos HaShechot Ola. You have to have Yediyas HaChet. The Mishnah is talking about, what if a person was Mechal Shabbos when he was a Kohen Gadol and then he retires from being a Kohen Gadol? So he has Yediyas HaChet, he finds out when he's a Hed Yod. The Avera he did, the Chil Shabbos he did when he was a Kohen Gadol. But the Yediyas HaChet is when he was already retired. He's no longer a Kohen Gadol. Or the reverse, is Mechal Shabbos when he was a Kohen Hedyot. And then they appoint him as a Kohen Gadol. And he has the Yediyas HaChet when he's a Kohen Gadol. So which korban does he bring? Does he bring the korban of a Hedyot, Kizbo Husira? Or does he bring the Par Kohen Gadol? If the Kohen Gadol is Mechal Shabbos, or if he eats Chelev Adam, he brings the Par Kohen Gadol. So it's all discussion in Ksubis, in the fourth parak. Why should it depend on the Shas Yediyas HaChet? Because Yediyas HaChet is the Mechayiv of the Chat. There's Kolzman and no Yediyas HaChet. There's no Chiv to do Tshuva, there's no Chiv to bring the Karbonos. Yediyas HaChet is Mechayiv. In this Perek, we're going to come across the beginning of Perek Yishai Rabbah, and we're going to have a comment on that Pasuk. Hoder lov chatos ha-shechot oleh, v'lo shiyodu yu acherim. He has to become aware on his own. If other people bring it to his attention, that's not mechayiv him to bring a korban chatos. The Gemara says, why not? If two people tell me that I was mechal Shabbos b'shoigei, I should have to bring a chatos. The Gemara says, no, means Eidecha tells me. Eidecha tells me that's not called yediyah. The din is Eidecha, that may be certain, but that's not called yediyah. Yediyah is only if you have two Eidim. So Rav Chana Basman has a whole essay about this. There is a rush in the third parak of Moed Kotem where the rush quotes from the Maharam Rutenberg, if an Eidecha notifies someone that his relative died, does he have to observe Shiva? A relative died in a faraway country. Does he have to observe Avela? So if you would ask us, we would have said, Eidecha nem visur. Why not? So the Rosh doesn't say like that. The Rosh says, it's a milsa davida leglui loy mishakri inshi. The guy would never tell a lie. He doesn't want to get caught red-handed in a lie. He's not going to tell a lie to say that someone died. If within a month, I'm going to find out. I'm going to correspond. I'll call on the telephone, whatever. I'll find out that the guy's still alive. So he would be afraid to tell a lie. Why does he have to give a whole hezber? You need it to explain when it's a goy selling eggs. So the goy doesn't have them on it. So you can't say that. A goy doesn't keep kosher. You need an eshesish. Eid echad says the husband died. It's a dovish b'yerva. Eid echad should not be believed. So then you have to say, one of the explanations was, people wouldn't want to tell a lie, you're going to get caught red-handed in the lie. But over here, the Erechot says that the man died. So why shouldn't you say Erechot? That means somebody need a whole explanation. So Bachana Basman says, because the din is an Avelos, Kozman, the person doesn't know that the relative died, there's no Chiyav Avelos. Let's say a person is old and sick. You know, Mechiyav to tell him that his brother died. It's a nisht. He won't know. I can even take him, let's say, I can take him to a chasana. There's no lift neighbor, this is the mirsha. I made up, I'm driving to him. I'm a doctor in the hospital. I know that his brother died in the hospital. I can take him to a wedding and dance with him, and there's no avera of lift neighbor, this is the mirsha. Kozman is not aware that the relative died. There's no chiv avelis. In that case, for some, it's not the Yosha Dik. It's I take him to the wedding. He probably would want to know that his brother died. He wants to prepare for the funeral or something. But let's say it's an older person. My father died at the age of 94, and he told my sister, my father had two brothers who lived in America. My father wasn't so much in contact with them for many years. He hardly ever saw them. So he told my sister, in case she hears that his brother died, she shouldn't tell him till after Shloshim. Because if you have Shmur Rechoika, if you find out about the death of the relative after Shloshim goes by, then you're only mechuyev to observe Avedus one day. And in the Amechad, you say Mitzvah Kukulas, they just need Shachas. There's no mitzvah to observe Avedus. If you don't know that a relative died, then Nisht is Nisht, you're not mechuyev. Not mechuyev. I remember once I went to Eretz Yisrael in the summertime with the NCSY program. So my father told my sister that in case he dies in the middle of the summer, she shouldn't tell me. He thought I'm not going to find out. It's not shayach. How can I not find out? Of course I would find out. He didn't die in the middle of the summer. He died in the wintertime. He died the chesoda. But so in Abelis, there's a din like that. The chiyuv Abelis only begins when you have yediyos, when you know yediyos. So Rabbi Chanan says, Eirechad is not called yediyah, like the Gemara says, Hoydolev chatosoy, veloshi odiyu achem. If an Eirechad tells me, I was Machal Shabbos b'shoigig, and I have to bring a chatos, you don't say Eirechad nemen v'yisur. There's no yediyah. Eirechad is nemen, you have to observe what he says, but it's not called a yediyah. Eirechad tells me that this is chazah, don't eat it. I don't know if it's chazah, but the din is I have to follow the Eirechad. If two Eidim tell me that it's chazah, that's called yediyah. Eirechad tells me, I have to follow what he said, but that's not called yediyah. So he says, just like the pasuk says, "Hodelav chatos veloshi odiyu acherim," Eirechad is not called yediyah. So Eirechad by Avelus also not called yediyah. You need yediyah samisa to be mechayiv in Avelus. It calls man to know yediyah yamchayiv. That's why the Rosh quoted this new explanation. So milsa David legaloi loy mishakrinch, a different time. Okay, so Belineta, next week we'll discuss in Yanni Purim, and then next week we'll go back to Isha Rabba. Very good. I have a sore throat, so I can use it today. Thank you. Good.